As some of you already know, I got one of those Facebook accounts recently.
Ooh.
And ironically, I got it partly because, you know, I'm a computer geek and I'm supposed to know all this computer stuff and all the latest fads because someone's going to want me to teach them how to do it. And something rather unexpected happened. I ran across, so far, dozens of people from my past. My long, long, long past. And it's been interesting to kind of see where some of them are. Watching some of the group conversations that they have. And it's kind of sad that some of them are very similar to the conversations we had in high school. But there is one person that I got a chance to talk with that told me something that was nice. They also became a Christian just a few years ago, which is no small deed for this lady. I was going to say girl, because she was a girl when I knew her, and I was a rather young boy, but just being surrounded by so much magic and paganism and everything kind of goes and nobody believes that God stuff anymore, it was really cool to me that somehow she managed to find Christ about the same time I did, maybe a little more recently. But she shared with me that she's been struggling a bit lately because she finds herself doing some of the same old things that she winds up doing and then feeling guilty about and wondering if she's ever going to get this Christian thing right. And she used a Christian-y word that caught me off guard. She said she was afraid of backsliding. And I felt awful for her because it seems to me that whoever she's with or whatever she's gotten through in her brain about what Christ is all about seems to still really involve the law. And it got me thinking more about God's grace. You know, when I first became a Christian, the thing I said all the time, I'm all about grace. And I am still all about grace. And I pray that I will always be to the end of my days. But it got me wondering what people think they need to do to be a good Christian. Or a real Christian. Because you hear that word sometimes. I was once accused of not being a real Christian. And I have to admit, sometimes I feel like I do need to be doing something. Or not doing something. You know, I should be giving to the poor and not drinking and not smoking and not swearing and going to church every week, and I gotta do all these things. I'm a Christian. And it dawned on me that that doesn't really seem quite right. So I did what I have learned to do. I read the Word, did some studying, and tried to figure out if anyone else had this problem before. And imagine that, they have. There was a man who asked Christ to his face what he needed to do to have eternal life. And in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, we can find out what Christ said. Behold, one came to him and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not offer false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have observed from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sad, for he was one who had great possessions. Now, you might think that I'm going to go on and off about being rich, and you can't be a rich Christian and all that, and that's not really what I see in this story right now. You see, this man had a weakness. He had something he wasn't willing to give up to God. For him, it happened to be money. But we all have things we're not willing to give up for God. Whether it's an addiction that we won't give up or can't give up, it seems, or something we want for ourselves that we want to keep separate from him, that we want just for us. We all have those things. What gets me is Christ said, no one is good but God. So if we all fall short and none of us are completely devoted to Christ 24/7, the quote-unquote perfect Christian, then how can we call ourselves Christians at all? Well, that's the trick, isn't it? You see, we get it into our heads that being a Christian is about being perfect or as close as possible for a human. That's not what being a Christian or following Christ is about at all. It's about finally being willing to admit to God and those around you that you aren't perfect, and asking Christ to help you in those areas that you haven't been able to give over to him. It isn't simply about... It simply isn't possible to get to heaven through being a good person. It doesn't work that way. We have to remember that following Christ is about grace. It's not about works. It's not about what we do. And it's not about obeying all the laws. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we're reminded, You were made alive when you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit who now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them. See, it's a concept that's always hard for me to grasp because it's contrary to common sense and a worldly perspective. God loves all mankind so much that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. He did this even knowing the past, present, and future sins of all mankind. That includes my past sins, and those to come, as well as yours. You see, this gift is freely given. It can't be earned. You can't earn something that's already been given to you. This was given to you before you were born. How can you earn it? And yet so many of us try to earn brownie points with God. He already loves each one of us more than we can ever comprehend, and he loves us exactly where we are. I suspect it helps that he knows our potential and future better than we do. I once had someone explain the difference to me between fairness, mercy, and grace. Under fairness, if you do something wrong against another person, you're punished for your crime. Under mercy, you're forgiven of your crime, and no punishment is given out. But under grace, not only are you forgiven for your crime, but you're given a gift in return for your crime. See, it doesn't really make sense, does it? And yet that is the grace of God. He has given us the gift of Jesus Christ despite the sins that we've committed against him. So what's the catch? Because there is one, you know. Always is. I think Acts 13:61 said it best. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. That's it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he is who he says he is, and believe that he died for your sins. That's what you have to do if there's something you want to do to earn God's love and his forgiveness and eternal life. You have to believe. That's it. Nothing else you do makes a lick of difference. He already loves you that much. So what about being good then? Does that mean we get to goof off and be bad and be jerks and just say, well, I believe in Christ, so it's all good? No. If we look back at the end of that passage from Ephesians, we can see that it was written at the end, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we could walk in them." See, doing good works is what we were made to do. We're not compelled to do it. We don't have to do it. We have choice. But it is what we were made to do. And if we're going to call ourselves servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, then, of course, we're going to obey him and do what he calls us to do. What's great is that he all calls us a little differently. What God calls me to do isn't what he calls you to do. He loves each one of us and created each one of us to be unique. So if we walk into a building called a church and we all look around and we look and sound and talk all like each other, does that necessarily mean that we're being good servants? I don't think so. My concern would actually be that we're missing the uniqueness that God created us to have, and that we need to maybe listen to him some more and to the world around us a little less. So then what does living under grace instead of the law look like? How will I know if I'm doing it right? Because, you know, I've got to make sure I do it right. From Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. "For there is no good tree that brings forth rotten fruit, nor again a rotten tree that brings forth good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings out that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings out that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Look at the fruit you produce in your life. God has given us freedom in Jesus Christ to do what we're called to do. And the fruit of our lives may look a little different, but we can still all recognize good fruit from bad fruit. We know that sweet smell versus that sour or rotten smell. Each one of us has been created to do good works, and the Creator of the universe wants us to accept his love and guidance. He has given us grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit inside each of us to guide us. And just as importantly, he's given us the church, the body of Christ here on earth, with which to fellowship and be strengthened and encouraged. We must never forget that Christ lived on this earth too, and he understands temptation and the struggle of this life, and he loves us. He's already forgiven the sin you are going to commit today before you've committed it. Accept the grace of God and serve him with all your heart and strength and mind.